The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School. Sunday, February 13th, the annual Silver and Gold Wedding Anniversary Mass is scheduled for Corpus Christi Cathedral at 9:30 a.m. A light reception will follow in St. Joseph Hall beneath the cathedral. Couples celebrating their 25th, 50th, 60th, 65th, 70th, 75th, or 80th wedding anniversary in the calendar year 2022 will be honored. To learn more or to register online for this very special recognition, please visit the diocese website, diocesecc.org/anniversary mass, or call the Chancery Office, 361-882-6191.
Most Precious Blood Catholic School is an extension of the Church, an exemplary school for pre-K through fifth graders, which helps fulfill the mission of fostering a spiritual life in each individual child, along with academic excellence and physical fitness. Registration is now underway for the fall semester. Why not call 852-4800 and arrange a visit at the campus at 3502 Saratoga Boulevard. The dedicated staff will be delighted to show you around and answer all your questions. Again, the number 852-4800. Most Precious Blood Catholic School, educating our children to know, love, and serve God.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Barbara, I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. We have a wonderful gospel this morning from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me the proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years. And a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill, on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this gospel begins by repeating a little bit of the concluding verse from last Sunday's reading.
That's correct. And I know that last Sunday on our program, we talked more about St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians when he spoke of the body of Christ. And so perhaps we need to go back just a little bit to what was that gospel last Sunday about to be able to understand today the scripture passage is being fulfilled. We remember that last Sunday, as we began the Gospel of Luke, it was at the very beginning chapters, and St. Luke recounts, of course, that many things have been done, many events have happened, there were many eyewitnesses, so he wants to take an orderly approach and write down all that has happened regarding Jesus of Nazareth, and so this introduces the Gospel of St. Luke. And the first thing that, after the nativity narrative, St. Luke picks up the story with Jesus returning to his hometown of Galilee as he begins his ministry. And there it says from last Sunday, again, last Sunday's gospel, that news spread all around. And so obviously people were coming. Well, the normal thing that Jesus would do in these places, and especially in his hometown, would be to go to the synagogue to spend time there on the Sabbath day especially. And so at that point, he's in his hometown. He unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and reads the passage which today's gospel then refers to. And the passage is the one that we all know. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. And then the verses that begin today's gospel are repeated, and so it flows in. This scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. What is the fulfillment of that scripture passage? Jesus is speaking of himself.
Right.
Not a prophet, but the Son of God, born of Mary, born by the power of the Holy Spirit, of Mary, and now he would be the one, he is the one who brings glad tidings to the poor. He's the one who liberates captives, recovery of sight to those who are blind, those who are infirmed, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord, a year of forgiveness, a year of reconciliation. So it is to himself that he is pointing. I am the one that you have been waiting for. I am the one who is sent by God to bring the good news, to bring that message of truth, love, and forgiveness in order to set people free. And of course, if anyone from our hometown were to do that, I think we would, you know, probably have a bit of the same reaction. Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? Who does he think he is, you know?
Exactly. And the crowd wasn't exactly very pleased about this, to think that he's saying that God's mercy is going to be extended to all, even though those that aren't among the chosen. That wasn't a message they wanted to hear.
Right. Well, it's not a message any of us wants to hear. And I think the point here is something that's, it's a religious phenomenon, but it's also a very human situation. Let me try to describe it. It's like we all kind of join groups. We become, even within our parishes, we belong to one group or the other. Some people belong to all of them, but there are very few people that have that much time. But normally we kind of gather in groups. And even as a parish, you know, we get used to the people that are around us. And then the new person arrives, and they have a new idea for the group, or they have a new idea that they've brought from another parish for the parish. And what does everyone do? We don't do that here. That's not our custom. That's not what we're used to. And so that kind of new idea many times disturbs, we might say, the status quo. It disturbs people's flow of life. So you can imagine in this situation, in a religious environment such as this, where Jesus comes in amidst the scribes and those who are experts in the law, and takes the prophet Isaiah, which points to that person where it's awaiting that person, where God's Spirit would be on that person to liberate and to bring full reconciliation with God in this Messiah. And Jesus says, I'm the one. This is about me.
Yeah.
You can see. So there's a human dynamic that's going in this as well as the testing of the Spirit. Is this really, because the first question, well, this is Joseph's son. But I think it's something, you know, just applying it to our own human situation, how closed we can be sometimes, how comfortable we can become in our own family life and our own environment where we can close in on ourselves or on our group, and we're not as open or we're not as welcoming as we could be to others. I remember when my family, we were, of course, you know, from Houston and big city, and you go from church to church, nobody know the difference because it's so big. And my father and mother bought a small little, we called it the farm, where we would go on the weekends, a very, 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 very small little community, and it's smaller than Pettis. But I remember as a family of six kids walking in, well, every head in that church turned. Who are these
that
people?
Are coming in
right.
in mass.
What do they want? We're all Catholics, but who are they? What do they want? It's just a normal thing, but it's something that as, you know, Catholics, as Christians, as people of faith, we need to find that open space for others, but also for the Word of God to reside in us. So what Jesus disturbs is that status quo in speaking of the fact, in quoting the Scripture, that in the days of Elijah, there was a famine but to none over the whole land, but only he was sent to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, an odd place to go where they would have thought maybe Jerusalem or some place that was more of in line with the faith of the people, that Elisha was sent to Naaman, the Syrian, a non-Jew, a non-person of that community. So this is what upset them. But
still
we are
cleansing the lepers.
Right. We are the chosen ones. We are the ones that God cares for. And we can't imagine him caring for someone else. The same thing happens with us today. We can't imagine that good is being done somewhere else because we have it. And this is something that we cannot be so religiously closed or closed-minded that we think we have all the answers in our way of living the faith.
Well, and I think back when, as you're reading all of this, I think back to when you were reading the letters from the Corinthians that said that the weakest among us is really, we can learn a lot from the weakest among us.
Right.
They're actually the strongest.
Right. Well, the other lesson I think that we have here is that God is bigger than we are. And many times we put our own theology, which we have to have, we want to have. It's beautiful to have. But we can't limit God to our theology as we understand it. The dogmas of the church, those defined truths of the church, don't change. The way that we present them changes in the sense that they develop, they grow, we understand better. So we can't become so petrified, and by that I mean
set
in our ways, dug into our own way of presenting things, that we can't see that God is, it needs to be presented differently today than maybe he did 40 years ago. And so we have to be open to the work of God, to the Spirit of God working in and among us, and not be so closed in on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So that's opening our hearts along with our minds. All right, well, we are going to take a short break. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The site for your next religious retreat, business meeting, or educational field trip could just be the Spirit Center at Bluntzer. It's close, but remote. It's quiet, yet lively when necessary. And now it has a brand new interactive website, BluntzerSpiritCenter.org. The goal is to provide visitors and donors an easier way to learn about the Spirit Center Youth Retreat Facility. You can book a retreat or gathering and soon after discover how you can disconnect from the distractions of the world and reconnect with God at the Spirit Center. To book an event, call 361-816-6567 or, as we say, visit BlunserSpiritCenter.org. Why not do it now while you're thinking about it? BlunserSpiritCenter.org. You'll like what you see. Many gifts, one nation. That's a day of giving for Catholic schools across our nation. One day a year, participating diocesan schools have a dedicated site open for monetary gifts from anyone wanting to give back to their Catholic school of choice. To help purchase additional technology devices, update playground facilities, obtain more safety equipment, and additional STREAM supplies. Catholic schools have traditionally been blessed with support from alumni, parishioners, grandparents, schools, families, and non-related people who believe in Catholic school education. This year's Day of Giving begins at 11 a.m. February 1st and continues for 24 hours. These special gifts enable Catholic schools to continue offering an integral education where Jesus is present and where the love for wisdom and truth are fostered. To make a special gift to a particular school, simply go to that school's website beginning at 11 a.m. on February 1st, where you'll find the link to make your special gift. And with your help, we can all say, when it comes to our Catholic school students, let them shine. Here's an update for your Shuffle Up and Deal. The special casino night fundraiser for St. John Paul II High School and Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School has been postponed, with the new date Saturday, February 26th. It all begins at 6 p.m. that evening in the St. Juliana Family Center at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church, 3502 Saratoga Boulevard in Corpus Christi. Enjoy a great dinner, silent and live auctions, and casino party action. Proceeds benefit students by continuing to provide Catholic education that is accessible, affordable, and available. Enjoy the fun and support Catholic education at the same time. For sponsorship and ticket information, visit jpiihighschool.org or call 361-855-7444.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View.
It's from the first letter of St. John. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. This sentence is from a letter that St. John wrote to the members of the Christian communities he had founded. They were experiencing moments of great difficulty. Heresies and false doctrines on matters of faith and morals were beginning to infiltrate the community. The pagan society that the Christians were living in was hostile toward the spirit of the gospel. The apostles, who wanted to help the community of believers, points out to them a very radical solution to their problems: love of neighbor, to live the commandment of love as they had received it right from the beginning. He sees all the other commandments summed up in it. By doing this, they would come to know what life means and would be led deeper and deeper into union with God. They would experience God love, and enriched by this experience, their faith would be firmer. They would be capable of facing attacks when they came and be ready for moments of crises. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. We know. The disciple is referring to a certainty that comes from experience. It is as if he were saying, we have seen it. We have touched it with our own hands. It is the experience that the Christians who have come to know the gospel through him made at the beginning of their conversion. That is, when they put God's commandments into practice, especially the commandment of love of neighbor, through which one enters into the very life of God. Are Christians today aware of this experience? Certainly they know that God's commandments are meant to be put into practice. Jesus constantly insists that it is not enough to just listen to the Word of God, but that we must put it into practice. There is something, however, that is not always fully grasped by the majority of Christians, either because they do not know or because they have a purely theoretical knowledge, that is, they have not yet actually experienced it. It is that marvelous aspect of Christian life that the Apostle wants to stress here, that is, that when we live the commandment of love, God dwells within us. An unmistakable sign of this presence is the life, the peace, the joy that he receives as a taste already here on earth. Everything is filled with light. Everything becomes harmonious. There no longer exists a separation between faith and life. Our faith becomes the force that penetrates and links all our actions to one another. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Love of neighbor is the golden path that leads us to God. Since we are all his children, nothing is more important to him than to see that we love one another. We give him the greatest joy when we love our neighbor. Love of God brings us to union with God and is, therefore, an inexhaustible wellspring of inner light. It is a source of life, a spiritual fruitfulness, a continual renewal. It prevents gangrene, sclerosis, and stagnation from forming in Christians. In a word, it takes us from death to life. When instead love is lacking, everything withers and dies. Knowing this, we can understand why certain attitudes are so widespread in today's world, the lack of enthusiasm and of ideals, the sense of mediocrity and boredom, the longing to escape reality, the loss of values, and so on. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. When the Apostle says one another, in this sentence, he is above all referring to the members of the community in which we live. If it is true that we must love everyone, it is equally true that our love must begin with those we are normally in contact with, and then reach out to all of humanity. We should think first of all of the members of our family, our co-workers, the members of our parish community, of the religious community or association to which we belong. Our love of neighbor would not be authentic and well-ordered if it did not start here. Wherever we may be, we are called upon to build the family of the children of God. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. This word of life opens us up to immense new perspectives. It draws us into the divine adventure of Christian love that opens up in beautiful and unforeseen ways. First of all, it reminds us that a world such as ours, in which violence is widespread, where the strongest rules, or the more clever, or where sometimes everything seems to be paralyzed by the atmosphere of materialism and selfishness, the answer is love of neighbor. This is the medicine that can cure the world of its malaise. When we live the commandment of love, not only does our own life experience a rejuvenation, but everything around us enjoys the consequences. It is like a wave of divine warmth that spreads and grows, penetrating all our relationships between persons and between groups, transforming society bit by bit. Let us make up our minds. We all have people around us to be loved in the name of Jesus. Let us be faithful to this love and help many others to love as well. We will experience in our souls what union with God means. faith will be revived, doubts will disperse, and we will no longer know what boredom means. Life will become fuller and fuller. Written by Kara Lupik.
We've talked about this so many times, about loving one another, you know, and opening up our hearts.
Right. But, you know, when you look at Christian love, what's different? I mean, certainly it includes the human love. But at the same time, what Christian love adds is the cross, is love that is willing to suffer,
right.
love that is willing to inconvenience itself. You know, there's nothing more tragic than being so locked up in ourselves that everything revolves around me, that everything has to be convenient to me, to my will, to what I want, et cetera, et cetera. And this is really just that dead-end road. Mm-hmm. In fact, at the closing of this commentary, she says that this love, it does something for our life. When we really go beyond ourselves, when we, quote, inconvenience ourselves, she says it's like a wave of divine warmth that spreads and grows, penetrating all of our relationships between persons and between groups, transforming society little by little. So love in this sense, in the Christian sense, and what St. John is saying here, is not self-serving. It gives us life. When our relationships are self-serving, we only experience death. We experience unhappiness. Love, and that's the risk we take in following in Christ, okay. Following Christ, following his commandment to love. We take a risk, but it does take us from an experience of self-absorption, which is death, to a real love of neighbor, which is the love of God active in us and brings us that divine warmth that is God's presence in us.
And if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing, please.
Sure. Grant us, Lord our God, that we may honor you with all our mind and love everyone in truth of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a beautiful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.